Good afternoon to all of you. When I prayed for this sermon, what I had to do, and I asked, I said, Lord, where must I preach about? And then the Lord said, you must preach about symbols. And I thought, symbols? What must I say about symbols? Is it signs? Meaning like traffic signs? Is it signals? The one sending a message from the one to the other one? Is it symbols which have got a meaning behind it? What do you want me to preach about? And as I was busy with it, the Lord gave me everything. I trust that the Lord gave me everything, and I would like to share it with you today. But before I'm going to do it, let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we come to you to listen to you. We want to know more about you. And we pray that this afternoon as well, you're going to reveal yourself to us, that we can learn more from you, because you are a God who is awesome, who is great. We cannot describe it in words. You're so great, Lord. Like what I shared it with somebody as well, if we take a look at time, Lord, with you there's no time. But we cannot understand it. With us there is time. There's 7 o'clock and 4 o'clock. But with you, there is no time. And that we cannot understand, it's above our place. And I'm glad like that, Lord, that it is, that you're so awesome, that you're so great. And I'm praying, Lord, that you're going to reveal yourself to us this afternoon, that we can come closer to you, that we can learn more from you, that we can have an encounter with you, that we can meet you, that we can hear you, that we can experience you, that we can just stand in awe how awesome and how great you are, as what we've been singing just now, in Jesus' name. Like I just now said, we've got then the signs, the signals, and the symbols. And I'm going to start with the signal. And then the one verse that I got is in Luke verses 5, verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. What happened over here is that Jesus came to the lake over there, and he was preaching, but the people were pushing him basically into the water. So then he saw that there were a few boats. One of them was from Simon Peter, and he said, can I use your boat, that I can stand in the boat, that the people are not going to push me into the water? Because the fishermen were already back again on land, and they were busy with healing the nets over there. And it happened that that the Lord was preaching over there, and then when he was finished, he said to them, launch into the deep and let down your nets again. Now, if you're not a fisherman, and if you tell a fisherman who's been fighting and who's been trying to catch fish the whole night, and you tell him again on the day that he's got to go back again into the sea and he's got to drop his nets again, he's most probably not going to accept it and say, sorry, but not. And that was the reaction from Simon as well. He said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But then he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And then they let down the nets, and then they catched a lot of fire. And then, this is now a fisherman's story then they signaled the one to the other one, come, help, because we catched fish over there, not small fish. Big fish would be catched over there. Come help us. So that's a signal, which means that you're sending a message from one person to the other person, which has got a meaning. So they must probably waved and said, come help us over there. So that's a signal, and I hope that one explains a little bit about what a signal means. Then we've got a sign, and a sign in the Bible is most of the time it is explained as a token or a wonder or a miracle. I didn't spend too much time on what we normally get in our lives, but on the one in the Bible, I took one of them out of the New Testament and one of the Old Testament. The first one is in Matthew 12:39, where it says, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. This is Jesus speaking over here, where the Pharisees were coming to him, and the Pharisees were looking for signs. They wanted to see signs. They wanted to see signs that Jesus was a son from God, which they actually didn't want to accept, but they want to see that they could see signs. So the word which is used over here is Simeon, which actually means a sign, a miracle, a token, or a wonder. But the reply which Jesus then gave to them is that an evil and adulterous generation. They are looking for a sign, and a known sign will be given, except the sign of Jonah. Now, the sign of Jonah, where Jesus is referring to, and that he's saying in the next verse, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so the Son of Man will also be 3 days and three nights in the center of earth. Because what Jonah had to do, he had to go to Nineveh, and he went over there, and he said, 40 days, and this place will be overthrown. And we all know how the people reacted. They took him serious. They tore their clothes, put ash on their head, and they repented for the Lord. And then the Lord said, okay, I'm not going to overthrow Nineveh anymore. So this is what Jonah has been doing. And then the Lord is also saying over that, he said, and indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. And then he's referring to himself, because he is greater as what Jonah is. But he came with the same message. He also said, repent, change, because otherwise something is going to happen with you. The one in the Old Testament is the one which is the sign on the doorpost and on the lintel. That is the one in Exodus 12, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The word which is used over here is oth, O-T-H, and which is a sign or a token. We all know what happened over here, that the Lord instructed for Moses, and Moses had to instruct the people that they had to take a lamb, they had to keep it for 2 weeks, they had to slaughter it, they had to take the blood, put it on a doorpost, and on a lintel. And then it says over there, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into the house and strike you. So it was a sign. So if the destroyer was passing over there, then he saw that sign. So that's a sign which we see then in the Bible. But now we're coming to the interesting one, and that is the symbol. And that's actually what I want to preach about. So I'm finished with my introduction. Now I'm going to start. The symbol. The symbol is something which has got a much deeper meaning. There's an idea behind a symbol. If we take a traffic sign says stop and nothing further. Yes, it may be said stop. If you do not stop, you run the risk of getting a fine, but there's no meaning behind it. It's not that there's a history or anything like that. But if we come to a symbol has got a meaning. Now, the first symbol which I would like to show is this one. Who knows this one? A barbershop. Okay. Do you know where this symbol actually is coming from? The barber was not in old times. He wasn't there just to cut hair and to shave. He did more. What he did, he also did surgeon work. He did bloodletting. So if you were ill, then you went to the barber. He would cut you. You would bleed. And bleeding would heal you. And what would happen as well is, because it's a little bit of a messy story, if you cut and you start bleeding, then they would have bandages and they would have type of towels to catch that blood. And what they did then, the barber, the surgeon, he would take those bandages, he would hang them outside so that the people passing by could see, okay, there's a barber over here, here's a surgeon over here. So if you take a look at the barber's sign now, you see actually bandages, which is coming from a time, all time around. So you're seeing a symbol now, which you're connecting up to a certain meaning. But if you look a little bit deeper, then there's more in it. So it's a form of advertisement, what they actually did then, the barber. So of the bandages, which were with blood on it, and of the clean bandages, they were hanging outside, waving a little bit. And there you can see then that you've got a symbol. We also have got symbols from the enemy. This one I've shown before, but then I used In God We Trust, but that's not where the sermon is going about today. It is about a symbol. On this one, there are roughly 13 different ones, which are symbols from the enemy. I'm only going to take three, because otherwise I'm going to spend too much time on the enemy stuff. First one is the pyramid on the left-hand side. The pyramid is coming out of Egypt. And if we take a look in the Bible, Egypt has always been on the negative side. It always has been opposite Israel. The next thing what we've got as well is that eye, which is on top of that pyramid, and that is the all-seeing eye of Horus. And Horus is a detestable pagan god. So that one, again, you see a sign or you see a symbol from the enemy, you see it on the $1 note, the American one. Sorry, there are no Americans over here. Sorry, I'm just making sure. Because just now they claim back their offering, that could be. The next one is the 13 levels. If we take a look at the pyramid, there are 13 levels over there. And 13, again, in the Bible, is a number of rebellion. And what actually happened over here, America was created by the founding fathers who were rebelled against King George. So there we can see then the rebellion. So I'm just, like I said, I'm just taking a few of them. There are a lot of those type of symbols where if we take a look at it and if we spend a little bit more time on it, it will tell us a little bit more. Out of our own story, and it's actually a testimony, I'm taking the next one, and Renee must probably knows that clock. That is a clock what we had hanging in our house. When we were engaged, we bought a clock because we had some money and you already buy things for your house. And then my father-in-law said, he said, you know what, the unit has got a one-year guarantee. Now, if you're going to leave it in a box, you're not actually testing the one-year guarantee. So put it up against the wall with us, and then you can leave it over there. And then later on when you get married, then you can take it along. What he did is he took this clock and he put it, 4 or 5 minutes earlier, which means 5 minutes to 8, this clock would already say it's 8 o'clock. So then everybody knew, okay, you've got to become quiet because he's watching the news at 8 o'clock. But when we got married, then I said to my father-in-law, I said, okay, it's time now, we've got to take the clock along. And then he didn't want to give the clock to us. He said, it has been in our house for 1 year, and if you leave your property in somebody else's property for 1 year, then you are not allowed to take it along again. I disagreed with him, my mother-in-law as well, and my wife, and fortunately, through a democratic process, we got a clock along. But on that clock, there were horses, sun, and chariots. And I'm going back to 2 Kings 23 verses 11, and it's Josiah, which is restoring the worship in Israel. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the officer who was in court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. That clock, if I remember well, was bothering us because there were symbols on it which we felt were incorrect. And then Rene got this verse, and then we went to the clock and we stripped everything which was from the clock, which was a symbol which was not from the Lord. So the clock now, if I show you a picture now, you can recognize the clock, but it's gone. So we took those symbols, the horses, the sun, and the chariots, we took them outside, and I think it was Ferdinand, our younger son, we gave them instruction to burn it, which he enjoyed because he could make a fire, and he burned it, the same as what Joshua has been doing. Joshua did it because they found the Book of Covenant. They found it in the house of the Lord, and he started reading it. And then he became aware. This is what the Lord actually told him at that time already, what they told him to do. They didn't do it. So he repented of it, and he started cleaning. And we also, with that, we cleaned the house as well. And if you take a look at what they've done, is they brought out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal. To imagine yourself, if there are symbols from Baal inside the temple, and they took it out for Asherah and for all the host of heaven. They took it outside Jerusalem, and then they burned it. We did exactly the same with the symbols which were in our house, which we felt were not from the Lord. So there were a few things which we've demolished, a few things which we've thrown away, a few things which we've burned, just to clean up. But I'll get to that one a little bit later. There are also symbols in the Bible. To be exactly, there are 1,670 symbols in the Bible. I'm only going to mention a few, but otherwise we would be sitting here till next morning, till tomorrow morning. The first one on the left-hand side is the one which is showing that you are a Christian, a fish. And it's actually coming from the people in Rome when the Christians were followed over there, persecuted. You didn't want to tell the other person that you were a Christian. So how to find out? What you did is actually you only drew the one curve. And if the other one was also a Christian, he would draw the other curve, and then you would have the fish. And by that, they knew that they were Christians. And that's the way how they recognized each other, because you cannot come and say, I'm a Christian, and you? Because you would be running a risk. So you would draw a line, and then the other, if you also was a Christian, would draw the other line. The dove, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, we know it. Bread and wine, we know that one as well. Then the tablets, immediately we know, we think about the Ten Commandments. What's interesting about that one as well, there are certain people who say, on this one you will see it's 1 to 10 on two different tablets. They say both tablets had all of them 1 to 10 on it. So it was two identicals. If we take a look at our current law, what we've got, if you sign a contract, how many copies do you sign? Two. So to bring to both parties that if you've got a contract, that both of them have got an original copy. So there are people who are saying that it wasn't two tablets with the 1 to 5 and the other one 6 to 10, but both of them had 1 to 10 on it, and they were identical. Symbols which we get, symbol objects which we get into the Bible. The first one is one which we all know, is the rainbow. It's a symbol of God's covenant with us. The pillar of cloud and fire, where it's the symbol of guidance when they walk through the desert. We also know if you see dry bones, it's a symbol of spiritual death. If we see a signet ring, it's a symbol of authority. We know about the prodigal son, when he got the ring, when he got that authority back again. A rock, we know that it's a symbol of stability. Then there are also symbolic creatures. We know that the serpent is a symbol of the enemy, of the Satan. The dove, what we've just now seen, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Then there are also symbolic actions, like, for instance, washing of hands. We know that it's to declare that you do not want to have anything to do with it. It's a symbol of innocence. Baptism, which is a symbol of salvation in Jesus Christ. Anointing, which is a symbol of empowering by the Holy Spirit. Shaking off your dust, of your shoes. It's a symbol of rejection. Lifting up the hands, what we've done now, just now as well in praise and worship, it's a symbol of prayer. And then also covering your head is a symbol of submission. So there we've got a lot of symbols. But the most important symbol is the next picture. It's the cross. And that cross has got such a lot of meaning. It's not just a cross. There's much more behind it. When I sat down and when I put that picture up, I just became quiet. I couldn't understand it. It was so much meaning which is in that cross. There's so many words which we can share with each other what is in the cross. And I'm going to ask you to do now something, to look at the cross. And most of you are sitting 2-2, otherwise do it 2-3. Then just sit and then just share with each other. If you see the cross, what is coming up in you? What would you tell the other person? What does the cross mean for you? So it's actually you are testifying what the cross means to you, because the cross has got a lot of meaning in it. It's I think, the symbol which has got the most books written about it. It's awesome. So I'm just going to ask you to share three things which are coming up into your mind when you see the symbol of the cross. Right, I said 3, not 13 or 30, only 3. Benel? Benel, what was one or two of them from your side?
Suffering,
yeah. The blood? Punishment of an unguilty man, okay. They are still busy. Peter. Must I ask Uchi or Peter, what came up?
I see open hands.
Open hands, open arms.
Yeah, not like these, but open hands, so which means everybody can come.
Okay, yeah? All right. Awesome. So that's a symbol what you see then. Okay, I'm going to the two at the back over there. Simon? Way to the Father. Okay, all right. Redemption, being cleansed of sins, yeah. Okay, two ladies, can I ask you as well? Or only one has got to say something, eh? Yeah. Sorry, Dee? Okay, so it's a continual outworking in our lives. Okay, yeah? And you, Chris? No, she's got 3,000 words, you only have got 2,000 words, so I'm going to use yours. Yeah. Okay, so you will be looking more at the physical side of it than, yeah, the meaning, what it stands for then, yeah. Because if we take a look at it, it is the cross, if I would say it is life, do you agree? It's spiritual life what we get at the cross. If I would say there's a future, yes, because through the cross we've got a future. Repentance, if we repent, Jesus Christ died for our sins. There's freedom, because there's a release. You can leave your sins, you can leave it at the cross. You do not have to carry them along anymore. Healing. Yeah. There's healing through the cross. It's a meeting place. We meet the Father over there. And it's an empty cross. I'm not quite sure if there are any people over here who've been brought up in a Catholic church, but in a Catholic church, Jesus is still on a cross. Sorry, Antoinette, yes, you've been brought up in a Catholic. But Jesus is not on a cross anymore. It's an empty cross. And that's so awesome. Yeah, last week when Renee preached, she showed the video clip from Louis Giglio that the DNA in our lives, which is holding everything together, is also in the cells, in our cells, is also in the form of a cross. So the cross has got symbolic, like I said, we can spend the whole evening and night till tomorrow, next week. We can sleep over here. We can talk so much about it. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25. Who himself bore our sins with his own body on the tree, which is on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripe you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So there we can see a few things in it. It is the sins which are at the cross. It is that we can live in righteousness. We are healed by his stripes. We are healed. We can return to the shepherd and the overseer from our souls. So there's so many in the cross. Yeah, we can talk, like I said, the whole afternoon. And that's actually what the message, what I want to bring is that what message of what are we seeing when we're seeing the cross, when we see the symbol of the cross. Sometimes we've got symbols and signs and signals which are not from law. It's actually more signs and symbols which are in our house, like I said before as well, that we took action. Now, you people also have got, maybe at your work, maybe at your home, you also have got certain symbols which are not representing God, which are representing the enemy. But you've got an authority over there to take those symbols and to take them out. If it is your own place, if it is your house, it's easy. You can take them out, you can burn them, you can demolish them. If it is at your work, and if there's a certain picture on the wall with a certain symbol, but you know it is part of the company as well, you cannot take it off and demolish it, because you will most probably be fired at the same time. But you can cancel it. You can anoint it, and you can say, I cancel, I bind whatever powers that are going along with it. We've got those powers. We've got them in Luke 10, verses 19 and 20. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, and this is actually the more important thing, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So it's not that we've got to say, okay, we've got the authority and we can send demons around. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing that our names are written down in heaven. I want to conclude with a little bit of a story. It is from a dying doctor, where a minister went and tried to bring the gospel to that doctor. The doctor was in his last stage of his life. Minister went and each and every time tried to speak to him about redemption, tried to speak to him about sin, tried to speak to him about forgiveness, tried to speak to him about accepting Jesus as his Savior and so on. But the whole time it just went over the head of the doctor. He couldn't understand it. It was something which he couldn't see. Then the minister said, but you've got to be reborn. And then the doctor said, tell me a little bit more about that. Because that he could grasp. Because he was a medical doctor and he caught a lot of babies in his life. And he knew a little bit about it. And when the minister explained to him, you've got to be reborn, he could more or less understand it. And when the minister explained it to him, that you've got to be reborn, that you're going to be total new and so on, then the doctor said, a baby has no past, only a future. And that is with us as well. We do not have a past, we only have got a future. And that is what I want to see with the symbol of the cross as well. With God, we've got only a future. And that is the symbol, and that's the picture what I would like to leave with you this afternoon, that if you see the cross, and it doesn't matter, there's one on the wall over there, and sometimes people are hanging them on their neck and so on. If you see the cross, that you immediately click, but it's a future. It's a future what I've got with God. There's no past, because the past is gone. The sins have been forgiven. That's all forgotten. Like the doctor said, the baby hasn't got a past because he's reborn. If we are reborn in Christ, we haven't got a past. We only have got a future, and it's a future with God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, you want to have a future with us. This is why you called us together this afternoon as well. You want to speak to us because you want to spend eternity with us. You've created us that we can be a blessing on this earth for other people, but also that we can be for your glory over here on this earth. You want to spend forever and ever with us, and you're waiting for us. Lord, I pray if there's anybody this afternoon over here who never accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, who never made that commitment to you, who always has been passing the cross, but never stood at the cross, stood still at the cross and said, Jesus, thank you that you died for my sin. Thank you that I can call you Father. Thank you that you created this world. And that I'm part of it. Lord, if there's anybody like that who hasn't made that decision, then I pray that they this afternoon, that they will make that decision, that they will be reborn, that there won't be any past anymore, but that there will only be a future with you. If there's somebody like that who never made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand while all the eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, yes, I know Jesus Christ, but I took a little bit of a detour. I went my way, which I thought was correct. This afternoon, I'm reminded again that with God, I've got a future. And I want to walk along with Him again. I want to have a future with Him again. Then this is also an opportunity this afternoon to take the hand of God and say, Father, I want to walk along with You. Is there anybody who wants to recommit to the Lord again this afternoon? If yes, you can put up your hand as all the eyes are closed at the moment. Anybody who wants to recommit to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to spend time with You again. And lastly, I want to invite, like what we've seen, by His stripes, we are healed. If there's anybody who feels that he's got an illness, something what he would like to bring to the Lord and pray for healing, then I'm inviting that person as well to come for prayer over here. Lord, I pray that this afternoon is not just going to be another afternoon, but that this afternoon, that symbol of the cross is planted again in our mind, and that we can see that symbol of the cross as a future with You, a future with You forever and ever and ever, a never-ending future. There's no time limit with You, God. We're going to be with You forever and ever. Thank You, Father, that we can pray that in Jesus' name. We're going to play a song, and I'm going to... song is approximately, I think, 7 minutes, so it's a little bit long. Take a look at the words of the song and try to understand what is actually in the words of the song. I'm going to be here, Renee is going to be here, Andre is also going to be around. If there's any need for prayer, feel free to come forward. If you feel there's more need for a cup of coffee, feel free to go to that side as well. Basically, we are finished what the sermon is concerned, but take time, and if possible, otherwise sit down, listen to the song, read the words, and absorb it again, that the Lord wants to spend time with us forever and ever. Thank you.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Where Your love ran red, my sin washed white. I owe to You, I owe.